It was a beautiful October day, 72 and sexy as the papers would report, in Southern California, when President Roosevelt made his announcement that the United States would be moving away from their self-satisfying bid at neutrality with fascist Germany and turning toward the little-practiced art of quarantining enemy-sympathizing parties, a move the rest of America would positively praise as a thoughts-and-prayers-level emotional success. And completely unaware of this recent shift in international policy, fake Jew Augie Eckhart and fake writer C.W. Griffson fell out of a very real taxicab in front of the nightmarishly gothic mansion of Maxine and Maximilian Bohr.
Ow, watch it!
Sorry, old sport. It's pitch dark outside.
I can see that.
Couldn't see that.
Yeah, pots and pans. All right, good here. Cabby, thanks.
He touched the cab! Rudy, punch it!
Okay. Sorry for the generous tip.
If that was the driver, then who is Rudy?
Not the mystery we're here to solve.
Fine.
Shit, it's so dark I can't see anything. You have the address, right?
Oh yeah, I do. We're looking for 498 South Lake Avenue.
Is that it?
You mean the huge gothic mansion only visible when the lightning flashed?
That's the one.
Safe bet. Augie, wait. Can I ask you a question?
My consent to questioning has never been consequential to you before, so why not?
Thank you. Before we go in, Is the tux too much? I was afraid it was going to rain, and my other suit is 55% cardboard, so I didn't want to risk it.
No, you look good. Just...
Just what?
Nothing. Just a bit formal, maybe.
Damn it! Oh, that's what I was afraid of!
I can see how it could go either way, with a tuxedo.
I just thought Maxine Bohr is a woman of refinement, and nothing says refined like a classic pea skin.
A what?
A pea skin. A penguin skin.
That's not where I went with that.
Why would it stand for anything else?
No reason. Let's go in.
No, it's a very normal phrase here in America. Everyone calls them that.
I'm not engaging with this anymore. Now, remember, you are my plus one, which means that at any moment, if you are getting to you, I will promptly pretend like I mistook you for someone I actually knew, walk away from you, and never look back. Deal?
Besides the inherent cruelty, I suppose that's fair. Shake on it?
I can't see your... Is that your hand?
It's not my hand.
What did I just...
I'm messing with you, old sport. No, it was my hand.
Why was it wet?
My palms sweat when I'm nervous. It's a Griffson thing. My father always said, clamminess runs from our hands to our pearls. If you know what I mean.
If I pretend like I do, can we pivot this conversation? Like, do you see a door or a gate or...
May I...
Good God!
No!
Help you?
You see that tall, scary man too, right?
I can assure you, gentlemen, I am present and extremely alive.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Prick me, I bleed.
I'm good.
I don't see a need for that sort of penetration tonight.
Guests of Mr. Bohr, I presume?
Yes!
All of you?
What do you mean, all of?
Grave man.
Mr. Fembart.
Where did he come from?
Tickle me. I laugh.
Very good.
That guy got a much better deal.
Did that tall, scary man say his name was Grave Man?
No, that can't be right. No, I'm pretty sure he said his name was...
Grave Man.
Come on!
Mr. Radisson.
Poison me. I die.
Excellent.
Now that guy got a raw deal.
Evening, gents.
You think we'd be used to it by now?
Mr. Bailey.
Mr. Grave Man.
Well, my name is...
If you wrong me, I will revenge.
Whoa.
And you, gentlemen?
Sorry, I just... What?
Who are you?
C.W. Griffson. Scream.
Hi, Augie Eckhart, German Jew. So, I'm cool. I'm an ambassador from Vicky St. Francis's Humane Cultural Council Committee here to meet with Maximilian Bohr.
And... him?
C.W. Griffson.
He's my plus one.
Screenwriter.
Do follow the mustard brick road. We wouldn't want anyone to stray from the herd.
The fuck is this place?
No. It's so exclusive!
The Vanishing Act by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. Part 7. the rhino horn.
As Augie Eckhart and Conrad Webley Griffson cautiously walked the path to the Boar Mansion, a pit began to form in their respective stomachs. For Griffson, it was a pit of doubt. A doubt that after all this time telling himself Maxine Boar would help him to break his 7-year celibate streak, she'd find him unattractive, unintelligent, and worst of all, empty. For Augie Eckhart, however, the feeling in his stomach was that of sound anticipation. For something about this horrifying house in the middle of Pasadena seemed to call to him with answers to everything he'd been searching for his entire pathetic adult life.
Augie!
God?
Just Griffson. I fell in a nettle bush. Would you mind?
Figures. It's never God. Priceless portraits, taxidermied animals, a working Victrola? Ugh, this is too much stuff. Like, who needs this much stuff? At a certain point, you gotta ask yourself, do I need any of this, you know?
Yeah. Whew, it's hot in here, right? I'm hot. It's... Ooh.
Good God, man, you're soaked. Stop sweating. Calm down.
Calm down? What am I supposed to do with that? I can't wipe my forehead with calm down.
Well, use your sleeve, or...
This is a non-cardboard peaskin, Augie. The finest piece of clothing anyone can wear. It's like wearing a piece of fine artwork. You can't just wipe your sweat on an O'Keefe.
Just breathe.
I think I forgot how. Augie, if I faint, just put me in Maxine Boar's bed. It doesn't matter so much that I'm conscious for it. In fact, I think I have a better shot if I'm not. I've accepted that.
Here, just take this doily. Wipe your forehead and keep it between your legs.
The doily?
Sure. I just need to make a good impression tonight. Maximilian Boar could know the whereabouts of Lilith or have some pieces to the Lamarck code.
Wow, that's a good title for something.
I agree to disagree.
And thank you for the plot recap. You know, I keep forgetting why you're here as well.
Just wipe your goddamn brow.
I'd put that down if I were you.
Ah! Where did you come from?
Always a fascinating query. Though really the question we should be asking is, why did you come from?
What?
Now you've got the hang of it.
Oh, God, are you a surrealist?
Quite the contrary. I'm a philosopher. Carl P. Fimbart. I teach philosophical engineering at California Polytechnic. Down the street. Love the peaskin, by the way. Bold. I love statements. You see, that being said, I had to stop you since you are about to use the only remaining original doily from Terence Boar's 1783 Dime a Dame a Doily Decathlon to wipe your perspiration. I'd put that down if I was you. And in a way, I am you, aren't I?
See, Augie? I told you this was important. That embroidery is... Well, it's most definitely embroidered.
Terence Boar?
Yes, that gentleman.
Which gentleman?
That gentleman, the one in the portrait.
Yeah, which gentleman in the portrait? We're in a gallery of gentlemen in portraits.
Indeed, but this one has a hat. Terence Boar, a doily man, 1745 through 1813.
If that is... I need a drink.
Try the boar's tusk.
Oh, thank you, other new character. But I'm not that desperate yet. Just looking for the gin.
Ha ha ha. A gin man. I see. Smart fellow.
Then the rhino horn be for thee. All the mounted heads are tapped with a different alcoholic spirit. Pull on the horn or tusk. Place your cup underneath the widest orifice and ooh, voila.
Are all of these euphemisms?
I thought the rhino horn was champagne.
Would that it were. The bear claws are champagne. All 8 a different province.
I'm happy to try any of them. Do I just pull on the tusk, or I'm just gonna pull?
But the rhino horn's the gin.
Oh, really? Then what's the boar's tusk, Mr. PhD?
That's Dr. PhD to you, adjunct.
Oh, he did not just say that to me, did he?
Pretty sure he did. Maybe you should fight about it.
I'm afraid this horned beast doesn't seem to want to...
Oh, no, sir. This is the rhino. I believe that creature you were attempting to milk gin from is what some may call a wildebeest.
Well, it is a wildebeest.
I'm sorry?
It is a wildebeest. Konashate's Taurinus. No philosophical ways around it.
Oh, are we talking about objective absolutes? Because Kierkegaard would beg to fucking differ, my dear.
I refuse to argue imaginary semantics about my and Dr. Bohr's life work.
Wait, so Maximilian Bohr is a zoo person? An animal guy?
Pardon? Oh, no. No, not Maximilian Bohr. Horace Bohr, the 19th century's foremost zoologist. Of all the animals you see here, Horace Bohr caught, stuffed, and tapped himself.
Oh my God.
There he is. Horace Bohr, a zoo man. 1835 to 1882.
Huh. Pretty odd for a zoologist to hunt, isn't it?
You'd think that. And yet, I'm Reginald Radisson, professor of...
Adjunct professor.
For now. Adjunct professor of zoological engineering at California Polytechnic.
So what, does Bohr run the college?
Are you kidding? You must be kidding, right?
Yeah.
Run the college. In the literal or the metaphorical?
God, living with you must be a four-course meal of bullshit.
Maximilian doesn't necessarily work at the school, but he does foot the bill for projects he admires, so...
So you're all trying to leech off of him to get your projects funded. Woof. I get it, man. I haven't tried grant writing firsthand, but I've skimmed some guidelines once or twice, and they sound rough.
So you've never heard of Boris Bubble Boutique?
No.
God, that's a good name.
What is it?
What is it? It's only the premier bubble bath metal polish of the Western Hemisphere. It's Maximilian Bohr's baby, built from the ground up. He just signed a double deal with Boise Burlesque Babes Choir and Delta Airlines to suds and shine up any bird modeled after 1935.
It's like they say, if you're listening to an all-gender burlesque choir or flying in a plane built before 1935, you're only putting yourself and your loved ones in a death trap. But... if it's got the shine, you'll be fine.
Can you even imagine a safer way to travel in the 1930s?
Trains?
I feel like you've buried the lead on that burlesque choir.
No, I mentioned them.
Yet, oh, too briefly.
Who's this portrait of? The one with the cigar and the monocle. The name is scratched off.
August de Bohr, 1656 to 1699.
Who is that?
Dr. Felix Bailey, professor of physics and mechanical engineering at California Polytechnic. Casual Leo, charity bake sale organizer, and six-time recipient of California Polytechnic's Most Eligible Faculty Member Award 4 years in a row.
God, he's cool.
Wait, did you say this picture is August de Bohr, the theater director?
A theater director? Can you imagine?
Those are the live movies, right?
Yes, actually. August de Bohr was the producer at the Theatre des Tuileries.
1695 to 1699? Oh my God, I knew it! I knew they had to be related!
Well, you certainly know your Bohrs, Mr...
Eckhart. Augie Eckhart.
Ah, a German. No wonder you have an appreciation for the arts.
I thought they hated art.
Only if they didn't make it.
And you are.
His plus one and number one best friend, C.W.
Nice to meet you. I'm Dr. Felix Bailey, professor of physics and mechanical engineering, California Polytechnic. Right down the street. But I'm sure you could have gathered that from these two so-and-sos.
Is he wearing sunglasses inside?
As a choice?
God, he's cool.
A theater fan, Herr Eckhart?
Yes, you could say that.
In a past life?
Well, fuck, when you put it like that.
I apologize. I have a knack for the unintentionally poetic. Affects my pupils as well, hence these facial solar obfuscators. I have a hard time concentrating without them. One of my crosses to bear.
So someone just lives at the intersection of Luck Terrace and Cool Boulevard, huh?
Do you happen to know how he died?
August de Bohr? Yeah, I mean, he... I mean... No, is what I mean.
Is this you playing coy?
Give me another drink, plus one.
Fine. Bear or rhino?
Neither. Water. Wait, rhino.
I'm sure you've heard about the tragedy of Lamarck's Vanishing Act. A long, complicated, ultimately frivolous plot. Suffice it to say, a part of the show called for a bit of stage magic. An experimental new box made by one Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck, the genius stage magician. Although some reductively refer to him now as the Wizard of Versailles.
Oh, I love that book.
Which one?
The one by that handsome British travel writer.
Oh, you mean the Wizard of Versailles.
The very same.
I love that book.
And I'm so happy that you love a book. Meanwhile, back to the tragedy at the Theatre des Tuileries. Some say the mass disappearance of an entire audience and non-union crew was a set malfunction. Some say an assassination attempt on Louis XIV. But there are others, a small sect, who think...
Oh my God, do you also think...
Dinner...
Come on! All over the peaskin!
...is served.
Yes, well, apologies if I bored you. History and the arts are particular passions of mine. Love exercising the old right brain when I can. Well, see you in there, Herr Eckhart.
God, he's cool!
Oh, I know. God, I can't wait to sit next to him.
No, I want to sit next to him.
A foot race, then?
So, it would seem...
Hey, that's not fair! I have a PhD!
Augie, you gotta help me. I smell like Errol Flynn the morning after a prestigious award ceremony he definitely wasn't invited to.
I don't know who that is, but hey, look at me, look at me. Calm down. Do your calming quote.
Augie, it feels like it's burning through the tux. Oh God, is this one made of cardboard too? Oh, not again.
Do the calming quote.
Fine. I am not the djinn. The djinn is not me.
Feel better?
No.
Okay, good. I thought those were bullshit, too.
How did that djinn get into that rhino, Augie? How long has it been there? Why are these questions coming to me after I drank it?
How many did you have?
Questions? Oh, more than I did before drinking the rhino milked djinn. I think there's something in that djinn, Augie. Oh, this parlor has a lot going on. Why are there so many things in here?
Mr. Boar's parlor is a menagerie of baubles, trinkets, and thingamajigs of the highest sophistication.
Oh, good. The scary guy is still here. Hey! Hi, Augie Eckhart, German Jew from the HCCC. Do you happen to have a bathroom my plus one could clean himself up in? He's fine, mind you, just needs to wash his hands and all that. For religious reasons. Nothing serious. He's wearing a tux.
I see your associate's pea skin as plain as the sweat on his brow.
Oh God, he knows!
So...
Up the first set of stairs, the second door on your right.
Always on the second floor. Thank you. Did you hear that, bud?
I think I have some Bapcra in the flask in my shoe. I need you to grab it for me. I thought I was a gin drunk, but I'm not, Augie. I'm decidedly not.
I'm not getting you any more to drink. Now go upstairs and clean yourself up.
Augie, what if there are more things up there? What if every room has things?
There won't be. It's a bathroom. Just clean yourself up and come right back down to dinner. There's gonna be food. Food. Yeah? You like food. Yum, yum.
And please...
Augie, he's back.
Refrain from entering the rooms with placards that read, "Do not enter."
Seems simple enough. Thank you.
Yes. Quite. Disparé.
Was that a fucking smoke bomb again?
Administrative services! It's so impressive! Augie, I can't do this. I can't see Maxine like this, or worse, vice versa!
Hey, look at me. You're gonna be great. I believe in you.
You do?
I have no doubt in my mind. Any Hollywood wife would be lucky to have an affair with you.
Oh, but what if she's not interested in me, or doesn't think I have what it takes, or asked to see a social security card? I can't deal with that kind of pressure.
Then she's missing out.
You think?
Sure. Now go upstairs, clean yourself up, and get back down here, my big guy.
Right. As soon as possible.
Well, yeah. I mean, be thorough. But yeah, until then, I gotta see what this Boar guy knows about Lamarck and just exactly how Lilith factors into all this.
Right. Thank you again for the recap.
No problem. That Bailey seems really cool, though, right?
Sunglasses inside?
I know!
So cool!
Okay, see you down there.
Yeah. All right. Hug for good luck.
Whoa, what? No hug, no touching. You are dripping with sweat. Just go to the bathroom and come back down to dinner. Fast, but thorough. You know?
Okay. I won't let you down, friend.
Augie Eckhart's trip to the dining room and Conrad Webley Griffson's trip to the restroom took approximately 3 minutes and 48 seconds until, as anyone half paying attention could anticipate, Augie found his way to the dining room and Griffson entered a room marked Enter with conveniently placed dust over the warning, "Do not." However, let us begin in the dining room, where Augie entered to find the professors Fembart, Radisson, and the annoyingly cool Bailey, with bowed heads over their immaculately set dinner places, complete with what Augie could only surmise was most definitely not a blend. Red wine.
Solely, gentlemen, I give you Mr. Maximilian Bohr. You may begin the welcome.
Fucking plot twist.
Meanwhile, in the room Griffson was trespassing in...
If I was a light, I'd be... here. Or I'd be... here. And the Lord said, let there be... a large medical bed with... stirrups? Not bad. Medical equipment, knives, saws, fun gas masks. An IV trip, a magazine for kids. Ugh. Guidebooks, posters of the human anatomy. Oh, why does that turn me on? And hello, you beautiful sink.
What Griffson did not notice, however, was the dark figure standing in the shadows, just barely obscured in the darkness, waiting to pounce. However, back in the dining room, a severe, stout man with a large cigar wheeled himself out in a wheelchair. And slowly the professors all raised their heads to meet Maximilian Bohr.
What's up, losers?
What's up, losers?
What's up, sir?
Graveman!
Sir.
Tell Matsumi, no tuna tonight. But we want enough Pasadena Wienermobile to sedate Ellis Island.
Will Mrs. Bohr not be joining us this evening?
Migraine again. What can I say? Women and their complicated psyches. Stag night, boys!
Meanwhile, in the dark room Conrad Webley Griffson was decidedly not supposed to enter, he encountered a bit more than he bargained for.
Soap, soap, who's got the soap? How do you not have soap? You're a sink. Monsters. Okay, so the lights like to turn off by themselves. As if I need lights to wash my hands. Okay, maybe I do. Let there be light. So, no soap and no toilet. I'm guessing this is not the bathroom. Oh, God. Children. Not again. Hello? Don't mind me, children. I'm just a guest of... a guest. Now, if you'll come out, I have a piece of delicious candy here with your name on it.
And what name is that?
Ah, dialogue. See, I'm all about communication. Now, why don't you just come on out?
What does the candy say? If it has my name on it.
The name on the candy is Mike. E?
Cold.
Isadora?
Colder.
It says lights. Nothing. Okay, bad gin. Bad gin? It was just bad gin.
So, my charming, well-paid nerds, time to dish. So what's up? What's the hot goss? What advancement are we discovering? Discoveries are we advancing? Yeah, I said what I said.
Well, Mr. Bohr, in order to discuss new discoveries, first we have to admit that time has no beginning or end.
Next!
We discovered a whole new species of flying rodent who, get this, can only fly after ingesting semi-soft cheese.
Oh my God, listen, this is all great, and believe me, I want to hear you out, especially the thing about the cheese, but, you?
Me?
Who are you?
I?
Oh, I hate this.
I can smell your fear.
That is one of the nicer names for it. Please, don't hurt me. I'll give you anything you want.
Are you frightened?
Yes! God, cuck me, I am.
Are you frightened of me?
I'll be good. I swear. I'll write every day. I'm so sorry, Phoebe.
Phoebe?
You remember Phoebe, right? Griffson's dead fiancé from part 3? This one.
I'm Phoebe.
Good. Now.
Well,
Oh, I'm no one. Just...
Wait, you sound funny. Why does he sound funny?
I don't sound funny. I just have a prominent accent I've been doing this whole time.
I'm a big old, cheerio, mate. That's you. That's what you sound like, right? Right?
What a loser.
Sounds weird.
I don't sound...
Grave man! I don't sound weird. Do it.
I don't sound weird.
Terrific. You got a gift, you hear me? You make me laugh even though you haunt my dreams. Now, you, weird voice, what's your name?
What's happening right now?
Just introduce yourself. It'll make the whole ordeal pass much more quickly.
Augie Eckhart. Is something funny?
You'll be done in a second. Just don't...
I said, is something funny?
He doesn't get it! We're laughing at him and he doesn't get it!
He'll physically exhaust himself if he keeps going.
No, I'm not just gonna let him laugh at me.
Oh, I am pooped.
See?
But it's still funny! What? No! Fuck this! I'm out of here!
Well, excuse me! What did you just say?
I said I'm fucking done! I'm not gonna let you just... No! I'm out of here!
We gasped already! We used that card! Now you... What did you just say? In my house?
Phoebe? Phoebe, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry I let you down. I didn't become the man we wanted me to be. I'm so sorry I left you.
Why did you leave me again?
Fine. You want me to say it? I'll say it. I was wrong. We could have just run away, or loped, or spoken in person. Anything besides an ill-conceived poison ruse. They never work. Oh, but I thought that we... You gotta know that if I could go back, I would.
You'd stay with me?
I'd never write again if it meant I could spend one more hour with you.
Oh. You are so sweet. Oh, that's good.
You always believed in me so much.
No, seriously, that's good. You should write that down.
No, it's not worth it if it means I have to leave you again.
Oh, you... Now, come on. You can take off that pea skin.
Phoebe, can we do that?
Oh, take it off. I can help if you need me.
Wow. You can do so much as a ghost I had no idea about. Phoebe... Your fingers are so cold and wrinkled.
Something's never changed, I guess. I'm gonna turn on the lights. You know I never could be naked in the dark. Ah! But you're... Oh, God.
Did you just use curse language in my home?
What?
Did you just use curse language in my home? Did I stutter?
Yes, you did. Was that rhetorical?
What? Right? Who are you?
I'm Augie Eckhart. I'm here from the Humane Cultural Council Committee. I was about to say that before you laughed at me like a total...
Oh, one of Vicky St. Francis's little stooge bags, huh? Here to stooge around with the rest of us educated non-stooges. One of her confidence men.
Look, man, I'm not a stooge.
You like Vicky?
What?
Vicky St. Francis, your boss. Do you like her?
Yeah, she's fine.
Oh, fine. She's fine. Sure. Fine. Pretty lady, Vicky. You think she's pretty? Just those guys here? No one's gonna say anything, right?
No, not I.
I'd rather die.
See, no one's gonna tattle. And Grave Man's a eunuch.
What, like literally?
Oh, yeah, you wanna see?
Kind of. Is it a clean sweep, or is there like... Sorry, never mind. Why not? Sure, she's pretty. Beautiful.
Wrong answer, bub. She's a married woman, Eckhart. Do you understand the sanctity of marriage? What it means to be legally bound?
Yes, I understand what it means, conceptually.
It's a bond. It's a trust. You can't take that ish lightly. That's why my darling Maxine and I are so strong. We ride together, we die together. Mutual respect.
I know you. You're... Yes.
Who are you?
This is my house, sir.
Maxine Bohr?
Yes, but you may call me Phoebe, if it helps.
No, I mean, wow. I was looking for you and...
Well, you found me. And who might you be, little one?
I am, Conrad. No, sorry. C.W. Griffson, screenwriter. At your service?
Well, C.W., and what a lovely name, by the way. I hope you'll forgive me for the light show earlier, but I figured you were trespassing, so I just wanted to have a little bit of fun.
Oh, I thought Grave Man said the bathroom was up here, and the door said enter on it, so...
Well, that's because that lazy human broomstick doesn't dust the doors anymore now, does he?
Oh, do not enter. Yeah, I see now.
Yeah, the bathroom is next door.
Well... Don't I feel silly?
You should. Now, you must be cold. Let me take you to our closet and get you some of Maximilian's clothes.
You are too kind, but no, I don't want to impose.
He won't mind at all.
Then by all means, let's get me into your husband's clothes.
One of you just got married, right? I was definitely there, but tell the tables if I wasn't so they can know.
But that wasn't me. I've been spiritually connected to my partner for the time period most people recognize as 6 days now.
Brag.
I got married last month. I even have her picture in my wallet. See? I love my partner. I love you, sweetie. See? That's her.
Great.
And that's me.
I gathered.
You see, when two creatures are chemically attracted to each
Christ,
other...
Christ, I am so happy for you.
Look, funny voice. I'm just asking you to respect the sanctity of marriage here. My house, my rules.
You and Mrs. Bohr's, sir.
Exactly. It's a partnership. Some people find that off-putting, but I say we all got our things. Some think it's a curse, some a blessing. Some people eat paper drawings of food 2 meals a day to stay in shape during the off-season.
Does the paper taste like food in this scenario?
What? No, it tastes like paper. What, are you an idiot?
No. I'm German.
Well, well, well. Looks like we got ourselves a kraut here, boys.
Now choose whatever you'd like. I assure you, Maximilian isn't going to miss anything. In fact, I have the perfect outfit.
Or maybe we don't need those clothes just yet.
Oh, no, sweetie. I make Maximilian keep the thermostat at 55 to increase blanket use. You'll catch cold if you stay like this.
Then maybe we should try to warm up another way.
Well, 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 Mr. Clark Gable over here. Conrad, there's no need for all this. I've already heard you cry.
Yeah, but that was... I didn't really...
CW, you cared enough about someone to let them into your heart. So much so that it made you cry to think about them. Now, I think that's pretty cool.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Now, what do you think? Paisley or Candy Apple Crush?
Oh, Maxine! Paisley.
Oh, naturally.
You know, I gotta say, you are not at all how I imagined you'd be.
Oh, and how's that?
Well, if I'm honest, I wanted to meet you, so the...
Oh, you heard about my service.
Your service?
My supporting men. My business with the Hollywood Wives. Finding young, virile men to keep these women company when their husbands have begun staying late at work. And whatnot?
Well, yes, but I didn't realize the rabbit hole went this deep.
Oh, not terribly. It's simple, Connie. Do you mind if I call you Connie? It was my father's name, and I've always been fond of it.
Max, I'd be honored.
Max! I love it. Well, Connie, I simply saw a hole in our industry that needed to be filled.
So to speak.
But... You are bad.
Lies and slander, m'lady. Lies and slander.
Well, I figured it wasn't fair for their husbands to have all the fun with their little script girls and airline stewardesses and private school nuns. And I don't mean to be cruel. These young women are just doing what they think they need to in order to get ahead in the world. And no offense, but you people, and I mean men, only respond to one thing.
Guilty!
So I figured I'd start some simple matchmaking. Not for anything long term, mind you. Just to fill the fleeting hours when they knew their husbands were dipping their pens in the company vagina, as they say.
Oh, I am familiar with the legends. But Maxine, how do you know it doesn't go further than that? What if they fall in love?
Oh, you sensitive little sweet baby bird boy. They're contractually paid by the hour, and whatever money exchanges hands goes through me. It's a simple business.
Maxine, I've got to say, I'm impressed. So, is there a vetting process? How does one get in on the roster?
For whom? Oh, for you? Connie, no. I couldn't possibly throw you into the ring.
Why not? I'm young, I'm virile. I have the sexual appetite of a man who likes sex. A lot.
I'm sure you do. But no, Connie, you're a sensitive man. You lead with your heart. I can tell.
That's not fair. I can be a downright deviant if I want to be.
Oh, but Connie, do you really want to be?
Yes.
Would Phoebe like that?
Don't.
It's okay, Connie. It doesn't mean you're less of a man. My payroll is full of delightful men. Great grips, best boys, camera penises. And you're just... Actually, I believe I could have a use for you in another arena.
Are you a Nazi, Eckhart?
What?
It's all good if you are. I got no skin in the game. Actually, if I'm being honest, I'm a fan of their long coats. They look like walking rubber gloves. Very distinguished and sterile. I just want to know who I'm dealing with.
No, I'm not a glove. I'm a Jewish person. I'm a Jew.
Oh, cool. Good for you.
Oh, that explains your screenwriter friend.
So, are you looking to make the move to film, being a Jew and all?
God, no. I hate movies.
Smart man. Can't stand him either. Never could. If I'm going to sit in the dark and be underwhelmed, I can do that right here with Grave Man and FDR's fireside beat poetry.
His flow is ahead of its time.
What a non-dismissive contrarian observation.
God, he's cool.
Hard to get away from movies now, though, what with the Boer lineage and all. Hell, Mr. Johnny Cool Sunglasses Bailey here is obsessed with members of my family. And I'm sure there's nothing suspicious about that at all.
That's Dr. Johnny Cool Sunglasses Bailey. You, of course, are referring to Auguste de Boer and the Théâtre des Tuileries.
Gotta love a legacy, right?
Bet you don't have that in your precious theater, Augie.
No crap! You're in the theater! Whoa, wait. You're not some totally non-suspicious fanboy like Bailey, are you?
Not so he is?
Apparently, Augie does know a thing or two about your great-great-great-grandfather, Maximilian. Not to throw you under the bus.
No! God, never! One could be killed or sued.
Not literally.
Well, duh! I knew that! If you want to know more, all the information about my great-great-great-grandfather's locked away in the library in sealed documents. But here's the rub, huh? They're in French! So good luck!
I thought you said you didn't have access to your great-great-great-grandfather's journals.
Well, I don't. They're in French! Do you really think I'm gonna go out of my way to find some underage couple with a smoking baby to decode this mumbo bullcrap?
I'm sure I can find someone who could translate them.
No. I already consulted one of those guys from administrative services, that Rhett de... who's a what now?
Rhett Delia?
Sure. I told him to get bent, but before I could get back with the spray bottle, poof, gone.
Smoke bomb.
Hey, funny voice. You do know we can hear you, right? Graveman, can he understand English, or should I start speaking louder?
Mr. Boer, those documents could be incredibly important in understanding...
In understanding what, my funky fresh friend? Correct me if I'm wrong, but what could a physicist possibly need some visionary theater producer's little black book for?
I'm sure I could get them translated for you. My assistant knows basic French, so you would know one more puzzle piece of the illustrious Boer family history.
Tempting as that may be, Joe Cool, I'm afraid my family's lineage is on a need-to-know basis. And I'd need to know why you need to know it, basically.
No need. Just wanted to help.
Well, I think we've managed so far. What type of theater are you into, my funny-voiced friend?
I'm sorry, but you actually have documents from Auguste in this house? That's amazing! You know, I actually used to have notes from his...
From whom?
Hey, come on. I was done with that part of the conversation a sentence ago. We've all moved on. And also, Dr. Shades, it's from who. Whom was invented by colonists to confuse the natives long enough for them to build their badly irrigated cabins.
Sounds right to me.
You're the man, sir.
Factually incorrect and remarkably insensitive.
Right? That's what I was gonna say.
I went to the oldest boarding school in New England. I'm pretty sure I know American history better than the aspirationless Jew in a walking pregnancy scare.
This has taken so many turns.
I like this guy! I like you!
I like you. What did you do when you left, Phoebe?
I lied and cheated my way through Paris.
We all had our 20s.
And I tried to write a novel.
You promised her you'd do that?
I did, yeah.
Did you ever finish?
I almost did. But I turned it into a screenplay. It's a screenplay now.
You did? Well, Connie, that's wonderful. May I read it?
Well, it's not... You know, there are still tweaks I'm making to the...
We're all just works in process, Connie. Unfinished first drafts. Do you have a title?
The Glorious and Mournful Sort.
The Glorious and Mournful Sort. Connie, can I tell you the truth?
Yes.
I love it.
Really?
How long until you can have the first draft done?
Why?
I'll put it like this, Connie. My business is doing pretty well. I am very liquid at the moment.
Samesies. You saw my tux.
No. I mean, I'm literally sitting on a pile of money right now.
Huh. You're right. There it is. Go on.
Now, I could open a charity. I could buy a small country in the Pacific. I could give myself a philanthropic fake identity to fight the city's crime with. But no, I want to do something only one or two women in this town have ever done before. I want to produce a major motion picture. And Connie, I'd like it to be yours.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, Connie, I'm fucking not.
But you just met me. Oh, this is terribly ill-advised.
Oh, please, I'm rich. I can afford to take risks like this. And you've got heart. Miles and miles of heart. Oh, I'd love to see what that translates to on the page.
Oh, my God. Max, I will let you down.
Oh, I'm so happy you're happy, Connie. So the draft is done, then?
At this moment, it absolutely is.
Excellent, then. Would you be willing to meet me for a little pitch meeting this Monday? Say noon. My husband has business taking a second nap in the garden, then.
I'm willing. I am absolutely willing.
Oh, good, because I'm going to be honest with you. Again, because I like you. There is one other script I'm considering. I mean, another novelist turned screenwriter. Have you heard of The Wizard of Versailles? Rudyard T. Codswallop, the author, one of my top supporting men, has been pitching me this script between pitching tents around town, if you know what I mean.
Sure do.
I promised him if he put up a certain number of clients, I'd read the script. He did, I did, and it's good, but I like you, and I get the feeling that yours will be just perfect.
You know why Shakespeare tanked back in his day?
Bears.
Enough with your yucks, Bailey. Only men got to act on the stage. Horrible! I say put the women up there. I don't want to see some eunuch. No offense, G-Man.
None taken, sir.
I want to see an actress with range and dynamics and short skirts. Good luck getting your Tragedy of Thee and Thou bullcrap produced by me with your all-boy nonsense. You got a job? Eckhart?
I work for the HCCC. Recruitment.
Yeah, but that's a hobby, right? Something Vicky St. Francis and her circle of glasses wearers do to make themselves feel important? Where does your income come from, chum?
I freelance. I make some from the committee. I have rich dead parents. That's it for now.
Well, then I won't beat around the shrubbery any longer. I got the perfect job for you. See, in honor of my great-great-great-grandfather's love of the theatrical arts, I'm starting the first ever theater and theatrical program at California Polytechnic, right down the street. How's about you come on board and spearhead it for me?
Sir, if we're talking about what each department needs, zoological engineering has been asking for a mechanical bull for educational purposes for the past 8 months.
And the philosophical engineering department could certainly use some new wingtip chairs to pontificate in.
Radisson, you and I both know a mechanical bull will give you nothing but chafed thighs. And Fembarth, I ask you in the most obtuse way possible, what's the difference between a wingtip chair and the apple crates you have right now?
Fair point. Sir, you can always study my wife's schnauzer again.
I don't know what the difference is. I don't know!
Look, I know it's cliche at this point, but my large donation's going to the theater. Unless, Dr. Bailey, you want to sway me with any fascinating developments in the physics department?
I'm afraid I don't need anything from you but your lovely company, Maximilian. Now, in lieu of nightcaps with you gentlemen, I'm afraid I must excuse myself. I gotta go see a girl about a drink.
Well, good, because we're through here anyway. G-Baby, show them out.
Right this way, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for having me over, sir.
To be in your hall is to be near the sun.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Not just yet, Eckhart.
Oh, God.
Ah, that's the door opening. That'll be the end of the evening.
I guess so. I can't thank you enough, Max. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, and thank you for not trying to fuck me. It means a lot. So, will I see you on Monday?
Monday. I won't let you down.
Whether you do or you don't, I'm still making history. Ta-ta, Connie. Is this tuxedo? Yeah, that's what I thought. Cardboard.
So, Eckhart, what do you think?
What do I think about what?
All of it. What do you think?
I don't... The house... The room?
The offer, you putz. Working at the college, heading the theater. You got the experience, I got the cash. Could be a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, look, no offense, but when I came to America, I had a very specific set of goals. I'm an artist and a lover, and I'm sorry, but teaching theater at a technical college was not part of the plan.
Neither was Grave Man becoming a eunuch due to my poor gambling skills. But we adjust. Sometimes left is just right from backwards.
I wouldn't even know where to start. I'm a set designer. I have no experience in directing. I hate working with actors. I hate actors in general. It's been categorically stated that my taste in theater runs counter to the general public. And I already have a job, sort of. Shouldn't you give this to someone with experience?
Well, sure, but you're here.
What about Dr. Bailey? There's that sound again.
That's exactly why you should do it. Bailey is what we in the bubble bath metal polish business like to call a shady McJagoff. He loves theater, probably more than any person who wears sunglasses in the shower has or should. I know if he knows this position's available, he'll want it. And I know that he hates you because you're so obviously more experienced than he is.
I literally just told you I wasn't.
So you take the gig, run the theater, direct some crap. Do a bit of reconnaissance work spying on Bailey on the side. And I'll give you something you never considered in your wildest dreams. A comfortable teacher's salary.
Wait, wait, wait. Go back. You want me to spy on Bailey?
Oh my gosh, doy! That's where the comfortable part of the salary comes from. Why do you think I set you up for this?
Because I'm perfect for the job?
You literally just told me you weren't.
Yeah, but that was before.
Bailey likes you, bro. Like, likes you. And not in a sexy, progressive way, but honestly, maybe that too. Who knows? I just want to exploit it. I think he and that assistant of his are up to something.
He has an assistant too?
Of course he does. She speaks basic French. Didn't you hear him mention her before? Anyone who's anyone in the faculty has an assistant.
Would I have one?
Funny voice. If you find out he's up to anything the least bit suspicious, of which I am 100% certain he is, you can have his. Graveman, show him the picture. She's the one on the left. The woman, the only woman.
And in that moment, Augie Eckhart paused as the woman in the photograph, the only woman in the photograph, just so happened to be Lilith von Hitzler.
So you want to give me a job?
Yeah,
being in charge of a theater.
Yeah.
At California Polytechnic.
Right down the street.
To spy on Bailey.
Precisely.
And as for the season...
Fall, I think.
No, the theater season.
Oh, sure.
I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, I don't care. Just no Shakespeare, unless...
Unless women play the female roles.
Yeah, or the male roles, too. That could be cool. You'll start Monday. I'll set everything up for you. Where are you living?
I'm at the chateau.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You'll obviously have to move to Pasadena. We got a guest house out back, completely furnished. Central air, moderately haunted, walking distance from the school. Graveman, you flat-fronted creepazoid. How's the guest house? That all clean and ready for tenants yet?
Yes.
Good. Eckhart's moving in first thing tomorrow. Now, you got a wife? Or,
plus one.
Seems a bit formal, but whatever screws your pooch.
I mean, we're not.
Augie, old sport, your plus one has arrived. Thank God I found you. This place is like a corn maze and Dracula's amusement park.
Mr. Eckhart.
He's back!
Plus one.
Every time. Who is... Hello, C.W. Griffson, screenwriter. And might I say, what a lovely home you have.
Maximilian Bohr. Patron of the arts and all-around super cool guy.
Maximilian of Boris Bubble Boutique? Well, I am boring out with excitement.
Ew.
I like you, plus one, screenwriter. I like you a lot.
What'd I miss?
I was just setting Augie here up in our guest house, seeing as he's the new head of the California Polytechnic Theater Department.
Right down the street.
Surprise.
Well, when do we move in?
Meanwhile, at a bar across town, the honestly really cool Dr. Bailey was in fact making good on his promise to see a girl. About a drink.
An old-fashioned kick to the side with a pair of steel-toed boots for me. And for the lady.
No need to order for me, Dr. Bailey. I'll just take any and all information you've recouped about what Maximilian Bohr might know about Lamarck's vanishing box.
Ah, see, that's... the thing, Lilith, and you know, I hate disappointing you, but I think we may have some company in our interest about this particular 17th century mass disappearance. Some cagey German fella seemed to know a lot more than he was letting on.
A cagey German fellow, you say? Good.
The Vanishing Act is written and directed by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. This episode was sound designed by me, Daniel Etty Williams, with original music composed and recorded by Baltimore. This episode featured Sarah Price as Augie Eckhart, Daniel Milhouse as Conrad Webley Griffson, Janice L. Blix as Maxine Bohr, Sean Fouch as Maximilian Bohr, Chris Visaraga as Graveman, Michael Morrow as Fembart, Corbett Pasco as Radisson, Jay Donnelly as Dr. Bailey, Tina Munoz Pandya as Lilith von Hitzler, and Lauren Grace Thompson as the narrator. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at VanishingPod, or on our website, vanishingpod.com. Join us next time for Part 8, The Apple.
Everyone, Lauren here.
And Ian.
And we're the creators of The Vanishing Act.
We wanted to take a quick second to thank some of our Indiegogo donors for their support of the show.
All donations go toward compensating our artists for their time and dedication to the project.
So, without further ado, thank you to...
Steph D.
Victor L.
Susan G.
Dale T.
Hans G.
Jared D.
Lena B.
Lydia H.
Alan B.
Cole G.
Jeremy T.
Lance M.
April H.
Kelly S.
Holly H.
Brian T.
Scott T.
And Antigone B.
And again, from all of us here at Team Vanishing Act,
thank you.
So I'm sure by now you've heard all about the Pasithea powder. The conspiracies, the suggestions of mind control, of alien life, of the terribly romantic doings of Dr. Jane Gonzalez and Captain Sophie Green, And I just want to remind you, anyone can fake a recording. Anyone can gin up a salacious story. And in these trying times, Reina Valencia needs you to be a patriot. She needs you not to fall for tabloid fancies. So do us all a favor, and don't listen to the Pasithea powder. Trust me, it's for your own safety.